Listening to this Fifi, Fev and Byron catch up feels like a holiday for your ears. To feel like you're on holidays all the time, to feel like you're living in a resort every day, visit mandalayliving.com.au.
Good mate of the show, from Australian Idol to Home and Away, killing it overseas as an actor and hosts a brand new show which is starting next Monday night, 7:30pm and continues Tuesday night, 7:30pm on Channel 7. The Wall is the show.
Yeah, a good mate that has been off our screens for far too long and he is back, Axel Whitehead. Woo! Excellent.
Good morning.
So good to see you.
Lovely to see you too. You look amazing.
You look amazing. You look amazing.
How sharp does he look?
He looks smooth.
It's a great jacket.
Thank you very much. I picked this up for about 15 bucks at an op shop in Melbourne 15 years ago. And it's still got legs.
Mate, look at it.
It's still
got legs. Got massive legs.
Yeah.
Like now, there's so much to cover. And
there
I know
is.
We don't have, it's breakfast radio. We don't have lots of time. But
gotcha.
We saw you a few years ago when you were serenading me in the studio with a song that we're desperately
trying
to find.
Right. I'm sure we had to dig it up somewhere. It was about drinking wine coolers and getting weird on the dance floor.
Yeah. And you know what? That was before I had a child. So
it's how is your beautiful girl?
She's gorgeous. She's amazing.
Yeah, she looks amazing.
She's a real cutie. But that's right. That song was about my life before I became a mum.
Why? You're not still drinking
wine
coolers on the dance floor?
Correct.
No? I'd love to know you before you.
Oh, the stories, mate. Let me tell you.
I know. No, I'm very conservative now. So we'll do all of that, but let's really talk about The Wall because this is a big show. Channel 7, 7:30, prime time on Tuesday.
Yes, it is going to be a TV event. This is a US format. It's been sold around the world. It's been number one all around the world. It's going to be the biggest prize money on offer in Australian television history. $12 million will be up for grabs. It is, as I said, the wall is actually 4.5 stories tall, so we had to go to Poland to shoot it.
Really?
Yeah, it's this massive set. It looks amazing on screen. We've got some incredible people. It's all about giving good opportunities to good people. So the people we've got on the show are really amazing Aussie battlers that have come through some adversity or whatever else. But it's going to be the biggest show for Channel 7, I reckon.
You've gone through some adversity, Fev.
You should put your name in the ring.
Mate, have you seen the ads?
They're conquering the wall, aren't they?
Falling down with cash and balls. Yeah. Like, I'm in.
Cash and balls.
I'm watching
cash and balls. I am in.
I am in.
And
talking
we'll
about
the crown.
Talking about adversity. We'll go off the show for a little bit.
Yeah.
I've gone through a little bit of stuff. But,
yeah. Here, mate.
I was on the the Brownlow Medal National TV show, and I.
That's right.
I stuffed up. It took me a while to come back from that, but you got your nut out at the Arias.
Mate,
how are we not best friends?
No, well, I'm a massive Carlton supporter, and I am a little starstruck, I must admit. And I'm a massive poker player, too. So,
well, I think we've played cards before.
Played cards before, and I was trying to hold my breath and not get a little bit starstruck. But, mate, yeah, a bit of adversity. It gives you a bit of personality.
It gives you
a bit of an edge.
I don't think you two should hang out. Like, you're both doing really well.
It's good to overcome this PC culture, you know.
What are you doing later?
No, separate them. Good point, Fief. Absolutely not. No, Axel. No, Brendan. No.
Axel, you've been splitting your time between LA and...
Yeah, a fair bit of time in LA. A little bit of time
and doing
here.
Amazing things over there. Shameless.
Yeah, worked with on a Showtime show called Shameless with William H. Macy, just to drop a little name, which was cool.
It's huge.
Marvel's.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, just got a phone call from them, so might be heading back there soon.
Great. Seven or eight shows?
Yeah, about 7 or 8 episodes, I think. And, there might be something in the pipeline. So
very exciting. We are so proud of you. You're a good mate. We love to see good mates do good. And I'm friends with both of you separately. I'm never inviting you over at the same time. You're never going to be in a room
together. That's weird.
Good point.
That's never going to happen.
It is a worldwide sensation, this. It is The Wall. It's hosted by our mate Axel Whitehead, and it premieres next Monday night at 7:30pm, and then it's going to continue Tuesday night, 7:30pm on Channel 7 for $12 million. Now, Fifa, also, before the end of the show, we're going to track down the love song dedication that Axel wrote for you.
We
can't find it yet, but the archival people are madly working on that.
Mate, I finish at 9. The tables never close at the cast.
They never do. I'll see you down at 5 past, mate.
It's the Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Now, brace yourself, Boxy. You don't know this is coming. It's not often I start segments. You do that.
Oh, you do it very well. I'm enjoying this.
I've got a rave.
Really? Do you mean a rant?
A rave, and then I'm going to turn into a rant.
Cool, okay. I love this. This is like an editorial from Fev.
Yeah, and I don't really get too serious about things, but this really, really pissed me off.
Okay.
So, Dan Andrews. Your mate.
I'll stay out of it.
Yes. And it's not often that Dan Andrews is getting smashed by anyone else bar you.
We'll need impartiality from you here, Fief, on the subject of Dan Andrews, yes, which you haven't shown in the past.
So I watched a clip on Wednesday or Tuesday of Dan Andrews, and he was getting interviewed about the new Harry Potter. Everyone loves Harry Potter. Yeah, not me.
He's bringing it out, isn't he?
He's bringing it out in 2019. It's on Broadway at the moment. It's all around the world, and she's J.K. Rowling's written a play. So they're all coming out. 10,000 a ticket it costs over in London on the black market. 3,500 to 4,000 a ticket in the States. It's been sold out everywhere. So they've brought it to Melbourne, which is a great thing. They brought it to Melbourne.
Mm.
And they asked Dan Andrews on the project how much it was costing for them to bring that in Melbourne. We know that the Logies they brought out for $1 million.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing.
Didn't know that. Waste of money.
All these different things they bring out. You know what they're bringing it out on? Taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
Right? We're paying for it.
State taxpayers.
So the people of Melbourne are paying for this.
Yes.
He was asked how much. And he said, that's none of your business. This is a confidential agreement. And the people of Melbourne don't need to know how much it is. But it's going to create a lot of revenue. Dan Andrews.
Fief, how are you biting your tongue?
This is our money, Dan Andrews. We need to know, as taxpayers, that's our money. We want to know what's getting brought to this country and how much they're spending it on, because it's our money. It's not yours.
Here.
You can't just go spending the money.
Here.
Tell us how much it is.
Well, hang on. We would invite him on the show, but Fifi's banned him from our show.
No, we need him on to explain himself. He can't be bringing people over, spending our money and not telling us how much it is. It'd be like Gabby going to buy your girlfriend going to buy a big lounge, and you go, how much is it? And she goes, I'm not telling you.
It's my right to know.
No, it's your money. It's everyone's money.
That's not a great example, but still.
I'm just up and about.
Surely there's a freedom of Information Act.
100%.
He's showing a few of those down at the moment.
Can we get Dan Andrews on the line, please, Leon, our producer? Get us Dan Andrews. Let's see what sort of power this show has.
And his quote was, well, the production's a huge boost for jobs, businesses and tourism in Victoria. How do we know? They might make 20 million, but they might be spending 40 of our money.
Yep.
Tell us how much, and then tell us how much revenue you get, and then we can say, oh, we're going to bring it out again.
There is nothing I need to contribute to this, because you have said it so perfectly. Well done, my friend.
Questions
high
need
five.
To be asked.
I love it.
They gave each other a high five.
Look at him. Fev,
and I'm not
hard.
Even going to get onto the crash they've been involved in.
Oh, no, definitely not. We'll take a break now.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
This Fifi box is an extraordinary court case out of New Zealand. I mean, this could only happen in New Zealand.
It's a shame for New Zealand politics.
Across the ditch.
Across the ditch.
The Dutch.
They have, in fact, for their ad campaign, obviously they want a term in Parliament, they've used a song that's very similar to Eminem's Lose Yourself. Now, the court case is happening. I guess it's still underway. This is what went down yesterday. So this is obviously the prosecutor, I imagine, at the time.
Right, right.
And he has said, Your Honour, please listen to an example of Eminem's Lose Yourself.
So a political advert using Eminem's Lose Yourself. Here we go. Would help if I had the...
Do you know
right
how to
button.
Use that system?
Here I go. Dun, dun, dun,
here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Got it. Dun, dun,
dun. I'm now going to play the sound recording which embodies the musical work Lose Yourself.
So Eminem's been played in court.
The judge is bopping.
Okay, so the Conservative National Party, they're saying, no, we didn't use Eminem's Lose Yourself, because Eminem's over in Detroit saying, you owe me a lot of cash.
Sure.
And they've said, no, we're not, but we just made up our own song. So here is the song that they claim has nothing to do with Eminem's Lose Yourself.
And so now I'm just going to play Eminem-esque.
Mum's spaghetti. I mean, it's the song.
Yeah.
It is the song, and I think won 600,000, Eminem did. But I want to know, is that Kiwi money or American? Because if it's Kiwi money, it's only worth about 20 grand.
Yeah, I know.
So
poor
what's the point?
Eminem. What is the point? And speaking of Eminem...
what's Kiwi money called?
Just a New Zealand dollar.
I think it's just dollars and cents.
Kiwi dollar.
I had a moment with Eminem a few years ago, Fev.
Oh, of course you did.
It was a phone moment. No, when I say a moment, I was interviewing him at the time, and he went to say something to me and the phone disconnected. And to this day, I still don't know what Eminem was trying to say to me. Have we got it, Byron?
We found it. Yeah, here it is.
Aware of what's going on.
Yo, it's Fifi late.
Hey, did you go, you only get one shot, much a chance to blow this opportunity. He blew it.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Okay, let's get down to the nuts and bolts of The Bachelorette, because tonight is the grand finale where Sophie picks the love of her life, Stu, and they go off into the distance.
Hang on, there's someone else in it.
Yeah, Jared, not a chance.
I just hope when Jared doesn't get his rose, I just hope there's security around.
I love Jared, and I do mean this. I've defended him many times on this show. I've often said, leave him alone. And even Soph herself said to us a couple of weeks ago, she said, it's not fair the way he's being portrayed or edited. I know she thinks he's a rock solid guy, and he is. But there's no way that she's picking him. Like, I've never felt more sure of anything. Do you know what? I actually thought about this last night when I was watching it. Usually at the end of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, I'm honestly a bit undecided. I always go, oh, I can't tell. It's all over Soph's face. I'll tell her tomorrow when we have her on the show. Mm. It's just all over her face. She's madly in love with Stu.
Yeah. I wonder how they're going to do it, by the way, because remember a couple of seasons ago, they made the two dudes walk to a top of an awkward mountain and then the loser just had to walk back down the mountain?
I don't think Jared will be doing that. Now, Jared's got a winery, a vineyard.
He'll do fine out of
Stu's got 50,000 billion. she's going to marry Stu and go, hey, Stu, just buy a vineyard.
Yeah.
Just buy his. Ouch. Buy Jared's.
Stu's a multi-millionaire.
Oh, come on.
It's all going to work out well for everyone in the end. But let's please talk about Apollo for a second, because he was evicted from the Bachelorette mansion last night. A lovely Apollo, already been touted as the next Bachelor, possible Bachelor. But there was, and if you missed this last night, it's maybe the most awkward date I've ever witnessed. Now, I've watched nearly every series of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. I've never seen awkwardness like Sophie and Apollo on the couch.
Yes, and just before this bit happened, I was on the couch with the girls, and Sophie wants to get married. She's 37, Paul is 24, and she hasn't really opened up to Soph. And she said, what about marriage? He goes, yeah, I want to get married. 4, 6 years? And Sophie's face, like, I've got a big chin. Her chin hit the ground.
Yeah, that was
like,
not
that, that was it.
And
he
I reckon
gone.
It was just after that.
And then it was literally just after that.
This awkwardness occurred.
We're having a conversation, and then all of a sudden, it's just cricket, cricket, cricket. Please say something.
Breadstick?
Good with that, I think.
You good with the breadstick?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
There we go, done.
Beautiful.
Yes, it is. Wow.
Wow.
So it was cringeworthy. It was brilliant TV because it kept you there, but gee, so cringeworthy. And I'd love to know, on 13 10 60, has anyone had a worse, more awkward date than that?
Oh, it's setting the bar high.
And I am going to stress awkward, because I'll put myself out there. I had an awkward date many years ago. I was on a date with a guy who had an accent. He had a heavy accent. And I was really I was struggling to hear him already. And we were in a venue that was quite loud, and the accent was really thick. And sometimes he'd speak and I'd look at him, and then I couldn't speak because I didn't really know what he'd said. And then I pretended to have a hearing problem, because I was like, I've got an ear infection. I had blocked ear drums anyway. I've got an ear infection. I had an abscess, and now I can't really hear very well at the moment.
It's a lot of effort to not just tell the truth.
I'm on medication. Yep. No, I can't tell you. It was so awkward.
Oh, wow.
So I ended up.
You want a breadstick?
No, I didn't say anything. I said, I've got to go home now.
We'll come back to your calls. 13, 10, 60. If you've had a more awkward date than the one you just heard, it's the Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Great episode of The Bachelorette last night. Sophie is down to just Jared and Stu. The two boys are battling it out tonight for her love and her affection. Clearly, Stu's going to win, but that's just my opinion. Fev, I reckon you're on board too.
Yep.
Yep. Anyway, so Apollo got booted last night after one of the most awkward dates I've seen on national television. This was Apollo and Sophie, for some reason, just nothing to say.
We're having a conversation, and then all of a sudden, it's just cricket, cricket. Cricket. Please say something.
Breadstick?
Good with that, I think.
You good with the breadstick?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
There we go. Done.
Beautiful.
It's, yeah, serious. Wow.
Oh, at that stage of the date, you text your best mate and say there's an emergency.
Yes.
And you answer the phone and say, out. Oh, geez, Apollo. Sorry.
Osher needs me.
I've got to go.
And we put the challenge out there. We didn't think it was possible. Could you have been on a date more awkward than that? Georgie in Coburg. Hi, Georgie.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, Georgie. Have you been on a date more awkward?
Yes, unfortunately. I went on a group date with a guy that I'd kind of been seeing, and he spent the night with another girl.
What do you mean?
So we'd gone out, a big group of us, and I spent the night with his friends while he chased after this girl that he'd met while we were all out.
Sure.
And, yeah, the look of pity on his friends' faces was probably one of the worst things I've ever experienced.
Oh, Georgie.
And, no, but it was good because I knew I'm done.
Yes,
well,
definitely.
Not going anywhere.
You should have just grabbed one of the friends and give him a big pat.
I should have, but I've left.
That would have hurt.
Good suggestion, Fev.
I just don't know how someone does that.
Thanks, Georgia, for your call. Wow,
thanks,
that's definitely
Georgie.
Awkward.
That is. Belle in Glen Iris. Hi, Belle.
Hello, how are you going?
Yeah, good, Belle. Have you had a date awkwarder than Sophie's date with Apollo?
I have. I went on a date with this guy, and basically they were red flags from the beginning. Initially, he was like, I want to pick you up. He asked me quite a few times. I said, no, it's fine, I'll meet you there. Anyway, we had lunch together, and he basically planned out our future together. He was talking about the next 4 days, meeting the families, taking our dogs for walks, wanted to go and do this special activity together that meant a lot to him, and I was just very much not on the same page. He was about 10 years older as well, talking about his ex-wife, and I was just like, I'm so not on the same page as you. And after that, I'm a singer as well. About a week later, he came to one of my singing gigs with another girl and flirted with her right in front of me. And I thought, it was one date. I'm not interested.
Well, you're singing. Wow. You're working on stage.
It was awkward because I did meet him at that bar. But, it was just like I texted him after the date. I said, look, I think we're on different pages about what we want.
Oh, okay.
He basically just replied within literally 30 seconds and he said,
oh, bunny boiler. I mean, this is the classic bunny boiler.
Yeah, but also get her jealous, bring a girl.
Oh,
no, she doesn't care.
She doesn't
care. Ciao, Bella.
Yeah, ciao, Bella. Like what you did there. Bridget in Geelong. Hi, Bridget.
Hi, how you going?
Good, Bridget. Have you been on a very awkward date?
Yes, I have. It was so embarrassing. I kissed a guy in a club, and then probably about a week later I was working at my restaurant, and he found out where I worked. So he came in, booked a table for two, sat down, ordered two meals, and then as I was walking past and the meals came out, he asked me to sit down and have a meal with him and have a date. And
that's smooth.
I was working, so I was like, no, thank you. And so he sat there, ate both the meals, and left and paid. And it was just so embarrassing.
Romantic.
She
would have lost her job if she sat down. It's not smooth, it's moronic.
I know what... No. I'm defending Bridge here. I know what you two are thinking. That is a smooth move.
Well, kind
of. But once Bridge has identified she's not interested,
right,
that's a man just sitting there with two meals in front of him and she's got to continue working around him.
Yes.
That's very awkward.
It's the opposite of smooth.
That's smooth. At the end of the day, you got
she's
to eat
two meals.
She's not
interested.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Update on the Harvey Weinstein saga. Horrible story still coming out. I was only reading that story to you boys yesterday about that woman who was really heavily traumatised after an incident with Harvey about a decade ago. It's a travesty. It's a reflection on an industry that obviously is unravelling at the moment with more and more people coming out. I think more executives are going to be identified for their behaviour. But what is interesting in this update about Harvey Weinstein, he has only just checked out of an Arizona sex addiction rehab centre after a week. I mean, I'm just going through his back catalogue and I've only skimmed the surface. That's a couple of months,
surely. Yeah, no, surely.
I went to a rehab for 70 days.
Yes, not sex addiction.
No, obviously not. But Yeah, that's very short.
It's a brief sort of rehab period, isn't it?
I don't even understand. Well, that says to me a lack of commitment. Now, his spokesman has come out and says that Harvey wants to continue working with his doctors, and I think he's basically doing the, I'll do the stay-at-home sex addiction therapy. And
that doesn't sound like a good combination.
I don't think it works like that.
No.
So it's interesting when you think about this, because I think some people, I don't think this would be out of school if I said I think people use this as a make good. Okay, I did all that bad stuff. I'm off to my clinic. No. I'm doing my sex addiction. Because I remember years ago, Fev, the first time I ever heard about sex addiction, and it was an actual thing, I remember Michael Douglas got caught cheating on his first wife many, many times, and he went off to this clinic. Anyway, by all accounts, he and Catherine...
Zeta-Jones.
They've had a long marriage now. And so I remember at the time being really sceptical and going, oh, that's just an excuse to go and... So I'm sorry, darling, I love you. I just can't help myself. But I think I was proven wrong in that case. He seems to have sorted himself out. Hmm. It's something that I don't know much about. I know we don't necessarily. But 131060, if anybody is listening who has maybe suffered from sex addiction... been to a clinic or a rehab centre for a sex addiction or can shed some light on it. Maybe you've had a partner go through it. It doesn't have to be a first-hand story. It would be interesting, I guess, to shed some light on this topic.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, you could argue humans are wired to procreate, and so everyone is going to have an urge, and so at what point does it become an addiction versus normal human being?
Yeah.
You know, 131060 is a number.
I think Harvey's in a bit of froth and bubble.
Yeah, I think you'd be right.
I'm going to say, and I hope he doesn't sue me for this, I don't think he's that committed or sincere about his treatment.
7 days.
So 131060, yeah. Have you got a sex addiction or have you been in rehab for it and
yes.
recovered?
Yeah,
very
that'd be
good. 13. I love the way you did that so formally.
1060 is the number.
Had to bring something to the table.
you bring
Fox.
Lots.
Yeah, and obviously we can protect your name as well, the voice disguiser, if you need it. 131060, the number here at the Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Harvey Weinstein, surprisingly, has left a sex addiction clinic after just a week. And, well, fair to say, even just to stay out of the prying eyes of the paparazzi, Harvey, stay in there for a year. Like, just hang out, even if you're not committed.
Sure.
Why he would release himself and clearly not taking it seriously. Anyway, Harvey aside, it does beg the question. I personally don't know much about sex addiction. I know we in the studio have talked about it and don't know anyone who's suffered from it or gone into a clinic for it. And we have said 131060, if maybe you have suffered from this or know someone who has, could you shed some light on it? And we will just point out a little ears warning. Like, we're not, nothing too graphic's going to be spoken about, but understandably, if you don't want little ears necessarily being aware of this,
yep,
completely understand. Now, we've got Tom from Turrumburra on the line. And Tom, obviously, that's an alias and we are protecting your anonymity. But Tom, you did suffer from sex addiction for a number of years.
Yes, I suffered for about 5 years.
Tom, when did you know it was a problem opposed to just, you know, liking to get out and about, play the field?
I probably always knew it was a bit of a problem, but didn't really come to terms with it till only about 12 months ago.
And were you in a relationship, Tom? Has it affected the relationship you're in?
I've been in a relationship for about 2.5-3 years now. And, the partner never really took it serious. Always thought I was just, you know, being a guy. That's just what guys do, but... Yeah, every time you got turned down or anything, it always left you feeling really cut on the inside and nearly sent me into depression at one point because I used to always think I was just an ugly person that my partner didn't want to get with.
So was this an addiction you had with your partner or did you branch out?
It was been going on for about 5 years, the addiction. So I used to go out to nightclubs constantly, maybe 3 to 4 times a week trying to find it. Almost considered going to a brothel at one point. That's how bad I got, but luckily I never stooped myself to that level.
So, Tom, what led to cheating on your partner?
I've never cheated on my partner. I've always been a faithful person to my partner.
Well, that's great. Now, Tom, I mean, that is really good. So this was obviously in the relationship. You've realised that this is an addiction you've got, so you've sought treatment. Can you talk us through the treatment for it?
So basically my partner took me to see a clinic to ask if I wanted to go in and try and get better, but I didn't really want to rely on that kind of stuff to help me get better, so I just kind of focused on, you know, being with my partner, the goods from it, and hope, like, just hoping that it would slowly subside. But yeah, at the end of the day, it probably took a good 6 months of, you know, being depressed and all that before I kind of saw the light on the other side.
So you're over that addiction now?
There's still the odd time where, you know, I'll want it really badly, but I've got a son with my partner now, so I just kind of focus on him whenever the addiction kind of gets a bit up again.
Can I ask a really personal question, Tom? You don't have to answer it, but so you, as a person with an addiction to sex, how often do you want it? And then how often do you have it?
Probably when it was at its worst, I probably wanted it, you know, 4 or 5 times a day.
Right. Okay. And then in the relationship, how often were you and your partner, were you actually having it?
At the start, it was like she was all like for it, thinking, yeah, it's a new relationship. So, you know, it was probably once a day, maybe like 4 or 5 times a week. But then as the relationship got longer and longer, and like as all people would know in relationships, the honeymoon stage starts to die out. That was when it kind of really started sending me upset, because I wanted it just as much as the start, whereas she didn't.
Right.
So, Tom, I've had an addiction to gambling before. So once you gamble again, you want it more. So once you've, and with sex, it's obviously hard because you do that with your partner. Once you've had that sex, does that reignite and you go, I want it, I want it, I want it? How do you overcome that mentally? That'd be so hard to overcome without any help.
Yeah, it's real hard to get through sometimes. Like once you do it again and then you think, oh, that was great, let's go again, let's go a second time, and your partner doesn't want to, you kind of just got to, you know, find something that's going to occupy your time and keep your mind off it. The same with any addiction.
Wow.
If you don't, like, focus on everything else but that, if that's all you're thinking about, then you're not really going to get through it. You're only going to get worse and worse.
Tom, thank you so much for having the candor and the bravery to share that. That's really insightful, and more power to you for dealing with it. And also, I'm not surprised there's that link to depression.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
If you're listening, and you obviously are because you're hearing this, you're about to witness a beautiful moment in a friendship here in the studio. Fev, I do have a gift for you.
I don't like surprises.
He's been nervous in the lead up to this, but why can't...
Don't
like,
be nervous.
With this show, why can't we just be nice to each other?
Yeah, on the
so
rundown
what?
Sheet, I've just... Fifi's gift to Fev, and I'm like, what is
Went
going on?
Went to a lot
on?
Of trouble for this.
Did you?
Now, yesterday on the show, you revealed, and you did this through your Insta story. I noticed the other day I was watching as you unwrapped your gift from your mate Chris Goulding.
It was my basketball shirt.
Your basketball shirt, CG. There he is, a caricature, a photo of him on your T-shirt.
Helping Hoops.
You wore it yesterday to work. It's your pride and joy.
He plays for Melbourne United. He's a guy that Fev's followed very closely for years, almost to a creepy level.
And I said, you've just got a friend of yours just on your T-shirt. And I think that was a lovely thing to show your friendship for Chris Goulding.
Have you got a signed basketball shirt from him?
No, or? I've got.
Here's a present from Fev to Fev.
It. Here we go.
Oh, this is
your T-shirt.
Oh, my God.
With me on it. So just a photo of me. Come on. That's awesome.
There we go. We'll put that up on our Instagram.
It's a lovely Rangan Ringers shirt. He's popping it on.
This is great. Here he goes.
Look, got his top off.
We should have gone live
working
with this one. Here we go. It fits in. Oh, look at that.
That is great. Bev, I love that T-shirt. That's my favourite. And look, I got the baby blues to get out your brown eyes. That looks perfect on you.
Thank you.
Honestly, I've never looked better.
Fifi, Fev and Byron on Instagram for that. And if you'd like it signed, we can organise that during the ad break.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Now, Boxy, advice. Need some advice.
Oh, happy to.
I have got me as... You wouldn't have probably done this, Byron, in Cessnock. They wouldn't have had it.
Never lived in Cessnock.
Because they never had this at Hallam High. Never had one of these. Mm. I've got me as Victoria...
Valedictory.
...dinner tonight, which I'm looking forward... For her.
Yeah.
But I saw the schedule. It's from like 6 to 11.
Oh, that's
yeah,
long.
Yeah, it's a long one. Whoa. At the MCG in your room where the boxers have their lunch.
Well, that's where we had the box family reunion.
We had our box family reunion.
In the long room.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can get through 5 hours.
Oh, that's long.
Because I just want to see my kid get whatever they get.
Yeah.
And then I'm tuning out.
But it's dinner. You'll get dinner. Is it
three
course?
Yeah, but I'm on a diet.
Oh.
I am stuffed.
Well, this is flattening.
Oh, that is.
I need some tips to get me through because I watch my phone. Can I do that?
Well, you, you know, like, surreptitiously, like you can't do that openly.
I can. Sorry, what?
Keep the word, keep the syllable count down.
Surreptitiously, I will do that.
Oh, on the DL, Feb, on the DL.
On the download, on the I get slide. That now, Byron. Thank you.
Do you know what? Okay, got a couple of things in your favour at the moment. Well, one, you want to obviously be part of Mia Beans celebrated.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
You've got something great up your sleeve, and there's something that you don't realise how powerful it is, and it's called a moon boot. So that leg is going to get you out of a lot of trouble tonight. One, you're uncomfortable. You've got to move around. I'm going to have to I have to walk. The doctor said I must walk every 15 minutes.
Blood clots.
Yep, there you go.
That's why I'm on the blood thinners.
DVP, deep vein thrombosis.
Oh, yeah, that's a serious issue. You wouldn't want to get that.
Pull
that.
Out deep vein thrombosis. You must keep walking. Head out. You can be on your phone outside. Just hang out the front.
Yeah.
Go and look at the statue of you at the MCG. Spend some time
because
there.
Because all I've got is, hey, guys, all my chat, because we don't really know many of the parents. Used to be the old office down there. Have a look. Gold Square.
Bit of that gear.
I can only say that so many times.
Good point.
You're right. No, that is going to be your out. Then you can be present for a little bit. When you feel boredom kick in, and I know when your eyes glaze over and you're done, you've just got to go, I just got to go and just stretch the leg.
The entrees won't even be served, Boxy.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. And you're also got to watch your food consumption because you're on a strict regime at the moment. Mm. So maybe leave for food as well. Like just.
I think I'm just going to get hammered.
Fifi, Feb and Byron.
How good is Liam's new song? And when he gave me a call the other day and he said, Fee, I'd love to come on the show and have a chat with you and the boys. I don't know the boys very well. I said, Liam, you know what? I'll give you a chance. It will be at about 4 a.m. Australian time.
Right.
I'll wake Byron and Feb up. I'll say, boys, jump in the studio early. I know Liam well. Don't worry. I'll sit out of this and let you boys shine.
Thanks.
So I can't wait to hear how Byron and Feb, you went with my mate from One Direction, Liam Payne.
What about the lyrics, Liam? I mean, there's a suggestion of a couple of things here. I mean, you said it was over, but your clothes say different on my bedroom floor.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been that you're just very messy and the clothes are still there from when the girl used to be with you months ago. You just haven't picked them up.
Or it could be that there are talking clothes.
Well, that's true because your clothes say, the clothes are actually speaking in the song, which is unusual.
The clothes could talk to you. They might be getting up saying, listen, I'm sure that she wants to stay around, mate. You know, who knows? It could just be all a dream. It could be about hallucinations.
Now, mate, when you come out to Australia and when you tour and you go to different countries, I know in Australia that Leon looked after you. How safe do you guys feel as the One Direction group when you come, stay in Australia and you know someone that's going to be there looking after you? Does it make the transition so much easier?
In a few different countries, I've got people that I always keep around on my team, just so there's someone when you get there, you have a friend, you know, you don't feel so alone in a different place. But you know what? I couldn't feel safer in Australia. I love Australia. It's a fantastic place. I've had some of the best experiences of my life over there. And, you know, the funniest thing was when One Direction started and we got big in England, I was thinking, right, if we get too big here, I'll move to Australia. And then no one will know who I am. And then the first place we went to was Australia, and it was even worse. So I was like, oh, similarly as it is.
Actually, Liam, it feels like a bit of an inner sanctum conversation because I know Feb likes to have a few beers with Niall, that they're mates. You mentioned a Leon. Who's Leon?
Well, Liam will know who Leon is.
Yeah, but no one else will.
Yeah, but that was why I was trying to get intimate.
No, you guys are obviously mates, but who the hell is Leon, Liam?
He's just a guy that looks after. You wouldn't have those blokes.
Leon's the go-to guy, man.
That's all we need to know. Isn't
that
right,
some
Liam?
Illuminati thing. did Feb blow the lid off that, Liam? Should he have said Leon? Is this guy a mystery guy that should not have been identified?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's on Leon. He's only got one name. He's like Madonna.
One more question, Liam, and you probably get it off every idiot that talks to you on the radio. Time frame, when are you going to get back together?
The thing is, everybody hangs off your every word these days, and I keep seeing these things that I've said. Oh, yeah.
That's why I asked it.
I know we'll be back in 30 years. Honestly, I don't. All I know is that we definitely will come back together. I mean, there's still such a strong force of 1D fans, and I think, you know, due to the fact that it's one of the only bands that's ever broken, you know, I took a break over the internet. You can see it visibly every day, whereas, you know, when NSYNC stopped, you couldn't see anything about it. You know, it stopped straight away. That was it.
So, I mean, yeah, we definitely will be back at some point, and I can't wait for it.
Yes, I'll be your Leon when you come back to Australia. I'll
Who
sort
is
everything
Leon?
Out.
Stop talking about Leon. It's making us all feel like we're not friends. We all feel like we're not in this inner sanctum. I guess the good news for you guys is I reckon about every second song on the Fox at the moment is by a member of One Direction. I mean, you guys are just everywhere. You've multiplied.
It makes me so proud to be part of One Direction, to know that everything's so successful still, even though that we are technically on a break right now. I mean, I just can't believe it. We're still breaking records, still making things happen. So, yeah, you know, we're still very much here.
Yeah.
Good
well,
on you, Liam.
Well said, man.
Thanks, mate.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
So there he was in the early hours of this morning, Liam Payne, Fief. So, you know, 1D will definitely be back.
I mean, had I left you with my good friend Liam and said I'll let the boys shine and make it a lads interview, if I'd been in there, there might have been less Leon chat.
Yeah, it was a bizarre reference that Fev made because he knows some security guard of 1D and the whole chat ended up being about a random guy called Leon. But other than that, Liam Payne's new single is Bedroom Floor.
I'm a bedroom.
It's good, isn't it?
Great track.
Everything they do just
it's
turns
very
to gold.
Fun, Liam. I like Liam.
Imagine the tour when 1D get back together. Imagine how big that tour is going to be.
Yeah, they'll give it a couple of years, let's be honest.
Yeah, and but then they can play all the 1D back catalogue and then they can play all...
Like Take That are about to do.
Well, that won't be... I think it'd be a bit bigger than that. But anyway...
Even though they loved putting together that catch-up, Fifi, Fev and Byron wish they could be on holidays all the time. You could holiday every day. A championship golf course, pool, tennis courts, a bar and more. All in your backyard. MandalayLiving.com.au.